Hello, this is a new thing for us to try, podcast, why not? Hello, Ben.
Hello, David.
Hello. yeah, we thought we'd give it a go. It might work, it might not, but there's one way to find out.
Yeah.
Hang on, this is how unprepared I am.
Meow. Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, hello.
Sorry, that's the rest of the video playing.
That's a wheel check. You have to excuse my slightly deep voice. I'm just coming out the back end of a cold, so...
I thought you were doing it just for me.
A bit lower. Yeah, yeah. Deep it.
So, yeah. I suppose we'll start from the very beginning. Shoot all.
Yeah.
We've never really explained... where it all came from. As far as a lot of these people are aware, we just started putting random videos on YouTube for them to watch. I mean, you started it, basically.
Well, I just had I enjoyed taking photos of cars and stuff, and I thought I needed like a name, because everyone starts with a Facebook page, don't they? These are amateur Facebook photographers. You've got to have a...
Or an Instagram, nowadays, but back then.
Yeah, back then is when Facebook kind of first started. And you've got to have your own Facebook page for everyone to like.
So, and you didn't go for Benny Photography or something?
No, yeah. And no massive watermarks over everything. God, I don't know why everyone did that. So annoying. It's like the terrible pictures and these massive watermarks. So you can't use this picture for anything.
It's like not royalty free.
Oh no, it's terrible. Some fiesta with the wheels pointing the wrong way. Like, yeah, weird. But anyway, yeah. So yeah, Shoot All. I don't know where I can't remember where I got the actual Shoot All name. I think I saw a sticker. It was like a gun with a lens on the end. And it said Shoot All above it. And it just kind of like,
did you not make that?
No, just...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was something you threw together in Photoshop.
I think it's from some skateboarding thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I just like the whole Shoot All, because I took pictures, not wasn't just cars, it was like, you know, a bit of nature photography, animals, and yeah, and well, plenty of nights out as well.
Yeah, you always had a camera on you.
Yeah, you used to take my little camera out to the nights out, and yeah, that was good fun. Some photos you don't want to see again as well, but yeah, so yeah, one day I'll have to go through those and reminisce. It'd be pretty cringy, I reckon.
Yeah, I remember you used to have a wall in your room of just just so many photos.
Yeah, the whole wall was black, because they were all taken at night. Most, all the background and it was just black, with just people in front of them. But yeah, that's funny.
Yeah. It started, because you did a course in photography. You're actually trained.
I've got a qualification, yeah. It was just like an adult course.
Yeah.
I did it at college. Yeah, it took a year or so, I think, to actually get going.
But I remember you did sort of one course on it sort of quite heavily, which was just basically like Rust, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. One of the projects, you had to like pick a theme and then... Yeah, I just picked rusty stuff.
Yeah, I always thought that was sort of ironic, you know, we both had Hondas and you picked Rust, but, you know.
We didn't really have many without Hondas, so we didn't really have much Rust repair, really, did we?
I mean...
Well, my white Civic, when I bought that, the rear arches were, rust and silicone, so yeah, I'll take that back. That's the first thing I really did on it. So, yeah. But yeah, you didn't have many Rust.
I mean... I didn't own a Civic until, the EK. The EK was my first Honda.
Yeah, and that was like, how many miles had that done when you first got that?
56,000, if I remember.
Yeah, it wasn't a lot.
It was an import. Came over from the RY. It's cross sea.
I wonder if it actually went there, new, and then that was the first time we've been back.
I don't know. There must be some way you can check, surely.
Checking.
Yeah, but, no, I mean, I had... The Clio, at the same time you had the EG.
My first EG, my silver one.
You had two, didn't you?
Yeah, that. I never had any problems with rust, really.
No?
I think maybe the rear arch was a tiny bit frilly, and I remember having to go at, fiberglass filling, just some tiny small bits, and then just, aerosol cannon over the top.
But I mean, at that age, were we really even that bothered? We were just like, turnkey, big can on the back. And
I think, well, the Hondas, they weren't too old, really. No.
Because your first one was an L-Reg, a 1994.
Yeah.
So.
And it would have been 2004. No, past 2004, so 2006 I would have had that.
So it's only 12 years old at that point.
Yeah.
Whereas if you look at the UK, that's a 1999 car. It's now 25 years old, crikey. Yeah. And yeah, it's starting to show.
Show some. But yeah, that's been dragged on the floor quite a bit.
There's not much still left on that.
Yeah, and it's like, with the lower car, it's really hard to get in the arches to clean all the muck off.
Yeah, every that's winter. True.
And we never really did that. I never really did any kind of after winter kind of wash downs or nothing.
No,
we just used and abused them, really.
Yeah, I mean that was it. I mean, you know, the Clio I did kind of care about because it was still a reasonably new car. I mean, the Saxo, I did not give an absolute boot over it.
You were given that car, though, so...
Yeah, I think that's the issue, because it didn't really owe me anything. I didn't treat it with any sort of respect.
Yeah.
That clearly showed when I came to sell it to a garage and they offered me 200 quid scrap value. 200 quid off the Clio, I'll add. But then, yeah, got rid of the Clio and got the MR2. And I will never forget, because you took me down to go pick that car up. It was down, like, Shaftesbury Way. You took me down there, and the seller literally went, because it was the history of the car turned out to be a bit patchy, because the engine was obviously, you know, just turn up the boost, do a dyno run, there's a printout, sell it, saying it's that reliable power, and it right. wasn't reliable power. But I remember the seller turning around to me and sort of saying, you know, was it 330 brake MR2? Oh, you've driven anything like this powerful before? And you turn around and went, no, he's got a fucking Clio. It's like, yeah, cheers, mate. But
did I drive you down in there? Do you remember what I took you down in there? On the DC2. I can't remember what I had when I had you.
I think it would have been the DC2.
Yeah, yeah, because remember, I took pictures of the MR2 and we had the DC. You did. Yeah, the white UK spec, year 2000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the MR2, which classically spent more time in the garage than it did on the driveway.
Yeah.
Shame,
because, you know, Toyota's should be pretty reliable. But
it was a lovely car, but it was a classic example of people tweaking the engine and obviously not caring, just selling it on, and ended up going through three engines while I owned it. So.
Is it three engines?
Three engines. So the original engine, which I was late to a very small local car meet, first time I could show off the MR2, and it had a two-stage boost controller. I think it was like 1 bar and 1.25 bar, so I don't know, I don't really do turbo cars anymore. But I remember thinking, oh, I'm a little bit late. I've got a fast car with added boost. I'll just push this button. And admittedly, it was a rocket ship. It was so, so responsive, so powerful, so quick. And I literally pulled into the meet and just literally went, this is the new car. Everyone look at it. You know, nice red MR2. Had a bit of body work done. First thing someone said to me, oh, yeah, lift the bonnet up, because obviously turbo noises coming down the road sort of thing. Lifted the bonnet up and it had where the oil return should be on the rocket cover, it just had a little oil breather thing, which was very 2000s thing to do. And it was literally coughing oil up out of that breather. It's like, that's not good, I might turn it off now. Oh, God. That was the death of engine one. I flipped a piston ring or something,
completely a bit of blow-by.
Destroyed one of the cylinders. Had a little misunderstanding with the garage that did the repair. I said, I like the power, I want it reliable. And they said, fair enough. And they got it to 330 brake very reliably. And, you know, drove it for a few months and it started making a horrible knocking noise. So I called them up and was like, look, I'm really sorry, I'm going to have to drop back to you, something's not right with this. And they sort of said, oh, you've been letting it warm up and cool down. So, yeah, of course, I understand turbos, you know, it gets, you know, 5 minutes warm up and, you know, at least like 30 seconds sat on the drive, you know, before I turn it off sort of thing. And no, this needs like 20 minutes either side of driving. It's like, 20 minutes? I'm going to be late for work. He went, this is a track car. I said, no, this is my daily driver. This is what's got a number plate on it. And they're like, oh, no, we've made it a track car. I was like, we've had a misunderstanding because this is not a track car. I took on track once. So at that point, we agreed to cut our losses, pull the boost right back, stock engine in it, and that's when I sold it. But that was it. They had a look at the second engine. They actually found I'd blown a small hole in the side of the piston, in the side of the, oh my God, my brain. Where the pistons go up and down.
the cylinder bore,
yeah. I'd put a small hole in it. And they asked me if I wanted the engine block, and I said yes. We went and picked it up. I stuck it on eBay. I sold it for 300 quid with a bloke. He came in a horse box to come pick it up. And the best thing was, I sort of said, "What you know, it's damaged. What are you doing with this?" "Oh, I'm building a track car, but I'm solely using eBay second-hand parts to build it, keep the cost down." I was like, "Oh my God, you're going to die." Just terrible idea.
So it did get going again.
Yeah, I got to go. I sold it as a running car with the boost turned right down.
Because I remember the engine being on your driveway and someone picking it up. I think I was there for that.
Yeah.
So I thought, yeah.
No. It sold as a running car, and I've done a reg check on it. It's not been on the road for a long time, so it's either a full blown track or.
You don't think the reg has been taken off for it?
It could do, because it did have a private reg. Hmm. So, yeah, maybe. But then got rid of that, got the RX-8.
Oh, yes.
And bent it in half, going up a barrier sideways.
He did slide it.
I did a ball slide on the Armco barrier, yeah.
He actually went up the, like, kind of...
The entrance bit where it sort of slopes up.
Yeah, where it slopes up and you actually mounted it fully and then...
I remember...
How did you get it off?
Someone, because it was in my lunch break at work, someone drove by that I kind of knew of. I can't even remember who it was. But someone was like, "Dave, you're right." It's like, clearly not. We got it off. And I remember driving it back round, completing the roundabout that I may have found some oil on. And taking it to our mate's garage. And I remember sort of going around the roundabout thinking, okay, it's driving, it's rear-wheel drive, the prop shaft, there's no vibrations or anything, it's going to be okay. And as soon as I straightened up the steering wheel, you could feel the whole back end trying to overtake. It was just bananaing down the road. It's like, oh, it's not going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, our mate looked at it and yeah, it's like, nah, this is going to be written off.
Did it come out and then it snapped back and you...
No, it was literally like you're driving a straight line and you could feel the back end was just sort of trying to pull round. It was like pulling... The car was basically pulling to the left. Like, I was having to steer right to keep it in a straight line.
What happened when you actually crashed it? Did the back end come out and then it...
Oh, yeah. I was getting some proper drift points on that roundabout.
It just come out and then you went straight up it, or did it come out and then snap back?
No, it came out and I was coming up to the exit that I wanted and I corrected the steering and it just carried on the drift. It would not straighten up.
Oh, and obviously you just kept sliding.
Yeah, the MR2, I was very afraid to put the power down anywhere near a corner because it would have killed me. So the RX-8 was pretty much the first car that I, hooned about in like
had
that.
A bit of stability control, didn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. But, so that got written off, and I actually used the money from that to buy the EK.
Oh, yeah.
And then just, yeah, dailies all the way after that.
Yeah. Well, you've had some spicy dailies in the Type S and that. That was quite rapid.
Oh, the Accord Type S. Yeah, sorry, I was thinking of an EP3 Type S, EP2, but... the Accord, though. I will say now, people, Accords are so underrated. They're comfy, they're not slow.
Yeah.
They're not quick,
It's not a bad looking car either, really.
It's not bad looking unless you're looking at the boot.
Yeah, it's a bit slabby. It was a Touring, though.
Yeah, but I like big cars.
Yeah.
I carry a lot
of. I think the saloons look better, but the Touring is really handy for you.
Yeah. But, Accords. I would say go out and buy them, but don't, because I'll probably need to buy another one soon. But,
watch where you park it at night.
Yeah, so After that, it was... after that, it was two Civic Aerodex.
Yeah.
One got water in the fuel tank after the ex-father-in-law took it for a drive. And kindly tried to put some fuel back in and lost the filler cap and didn't tell me. And,
what, and then rain got in there?
Yeah, I reckon rain got in because I was just literally sitting at Castle Point and the engine just went, take over, off. And I went to start and it was like, click, click, click. So I guess it just sucked up so much water and it couldn't ignite it. Basically, the engine was completely locked up. The AA guy that came out, he popped the starter motor out and just to sort of see if he could rock it. As soon as you put it in gear, it was like, nah, it's locked up. So it's like,
was it hot? Didn't heat seize or anything?
No, I'd literally only driven it about 5 miles.
That was the blue one?
That was the blue one. And then the it was the green one. Oh. Green one? Blue one? It was the one we had the stencil sprayed on the back.
Yeah, that was green.
Yeah. So I think the blue one was after that, and that... What happened to that? Oh, I killed that one from oil starvation.
Yeah. Dave's notorious for not checking oil. So every time we see Dave, we're like, David, let's pop the bonnet, check the oil. It's like that time,
was it Fruxton we were going around? We were going to do a whole day around Fruxton. You said in the car... Have you checked the oil on this? I'm sure it'll be fine. We checked it. Not a drop on the dipstick. I bet there's more than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that one was just locked engine. That was going to a friend's wedding. It decided to keel over on me.
Brilliant.
Had to get it towed back home.
That's the one, if you guys haven't seen that, that's the one that we used as a Hoover.
Yeah, we did. With the rattly engine.
And we sucked up. Yeah, we attached a pipe to the inlet and then we sucked up like sugar, eggs, butter,
flour,
sultanas and sprinkles, and Matt stood at the other end with the cupcake
cupcake casing weighing on these.
It was brilliant.
Oh, that was such a fun day. And yeah, then I got the Accords, which first Accord someone stole the catalytic converter off, and my god, they're expensive. I can see why they nicked them. Wish they didn't nick mine, and I'm now on number two.
Yeah.
So that's all good.
If you want to hear what it sounds like with no cat, you can watch the video as well.
Yes, we have one and only short at the point of recording this, and it is my car driving back from where it got its catalytic converter stolen.
And it sounds like a drift car on the limiter.
At the time we were recording that, I was very much like, oh my god, this is so noisy, I'm going to get pulled over, I'm going to get questions asked, where is your exhaust system, sir? As soon as we got it home, as soon as I turned it off, it was like, oh, I really want to go back out in it again. I really want to make loads of noise. I want to be a yobbo. But yeah, that was
a good excuse. Someone stole the cat. I mean,
yeah.
We did get it recovered just for that.
Yeah. Nah, if the police want to help, they can find them that nicked the cat. I had the registration number and everything.
It was
a little Fiesta that they, two of them.
I guess all they need is a pretty angle grinder and...
I think it was like a reciprocating saw or something they used. But, I mean, sharp. It went through the exhaust. Like, literally, I think it was like 3 minutes from parking up to driving off.
Jeez.
So quick. It's all on CCTV. Sent it to the police and just like, yeah, here's your crime reference number. Claim off your insurance. That's it.
I think it happens a lot now, doesn't it?
Yeah, unfortunately, probably not worth the paperwork for them. But, yeah, there we go. You've had some dailies.
Dailies?
I mean, the job you're in now, you've...
I've always had a work van, so I've not really needed a daily. So I could always have...
You had the Micra.
Micra?
No, the Polo, sorry.
Polo. Oh, what? When my Mini was off the road. Mini was my first car. Mini needed some bits doing with the MOT. Yeah, I had that bread van Polo. First car I had like LEDs in the speedo was, and you put the indicator on, little LEDs would light up. It was kind of almost like, ooh, this is futuristic. LEDs in a car. But yeah, that was funny. I did something with the exhaust. I think the exhaust was a bit dodgy, so I put like a cherry bomb on it. And then I was with Matt, and we were tracking down these old green lanes. And the exhaust fell off, and we didn't realise because it was already quite loud. And then we pulled up, and we're like, "It's got a little bit louder." So he was like, "Have you still got your exhaust?" We looked around, and it had fallen off like a mile down this track somewhere. so we had to go back down it. That was a good little day. The gearbox sounded like a, you know, it sounded like a bus. A proper noisy gearbox. And then the gearbox did eventually die on it.
Mm.
Yeah, it got louder and louder. And yeah. But that was back then when you could buy £100 cars with, you know, like, you know, 6 months MOT. And
yeah. Just
£100 car, run it for a bit. And then after that, the Metro. That was quite funny.
Yeah. So I was just thinking, Matt's a bit of a bad omen for exhaust.
Oh, yeah.
Because when we
did Fruxton.
Was it Fruxton or Silverstone? No, it was Fruxton, wasn't it? Yeah, it was Fruxton. At about 3 o'clock in the day, so nearing the end, I clipped the hairpin at the end a little too tight.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah. I was tacking the rumble strips probably a little bit too aggressively than what I should have been.
And especially it how low your car is.
Yeah, it scrapes on quite a few of it, or did. And literally just folded the exhaust up underneath the car, ripped it clean out from where the cat is, and folded it up. And Matt had to sit through the drive home for an hour and a half with literally no exhaust, and just manifold, and that was it. Yeah, we both had headaches for like 48 hours after that.
Right.
It wasn't good, but yeah, that was the last time the UK was on the road.
Yeah, I mean, that was...
It's got an exhaust on it now, though.
Quite a while ago.
It's got, I think it's a bit of a mismatch. I think it's mostly Integra exhaust it's got on it at the moment, but it seems to fit.
Yeah.
Fits over the LCA, so... yeah, need to sort the clutch out and get it back on the road.
Yeah, yeah, your clutch pedal's gone to the floor.
Yeah, it's gone limp. Happens in years, apparently. Sometimes.
Once you're 25 years old.
Beware, kids. I mean, not that many cars, really. What, between us?
No.
Like, some
I don't know how these people have, like, you know, 70 cars before they're 30 or something.
Yeah.
Like, how much insurance paperwork is that to start with? You got to ring them up every 2 minutes and pay the admin fee of, you know, whatever it 50 is.
50 quid normally, something like
25,
that.
25, yeah, quid is whatever it is to change the bloody number plate in them. Yeah, I don't understand how people do that. And just selling a car is just a horrible process.
Oh, God.
Like,
I mean, thankfully, I tend to kill mine. I don't have to worry about resale.
You just punish,
run them in the ground.
You just punish them until they just give up. Yeah, I hate selling cars. That's a load of shit.
Yeah, I think the MR2 is the only car I've ever actually had to sell. Well, the Saxo was a trade-in.
Yeah.
The Clio I sold...
Yeah,
I sold the Clio, and then 3 days later, the guy was like, oh, it's not running right. Can you help? And to be fair, he did sort of say, yeah, I appreciate sold as seen. I'm not asking money back. I'm just like, you've driven this car for like 4 years. What could be wrong? Straight away, yeah, it's coil packs. 100% it's going to be coil packs.
Standard.
I went through six in 4 years.
Oh, really?
Coil packs. So it's like, yeah. And yeah, that was it. It was running on three cylinders, so... Bloody French cars. Yeah. And then obviously I brought the EG at some point.
Yeah.
So the EG is still here.
Dave's got a fetish for blue Hondas.
It's fate.
The Accord Type S was blue. Killed that. Now he's got a...
The Aerodeck. One of the Aerodecks is blue.
The Aerodeck was blue, yeah. He's got another Accord. Not a Type S, but the same shape.
Exact same blue.
Exact same colour, yeah. And the EK is obviously supersonic blue.
Yep.
And then the EG is Captivia blue.
Ah.
Mm.
And the scooter is blue.
Oh, yeah.
Dark blue.
That's not a Honda, though,
is it? It's not a Honda. No, it doesn't count. But no, the EG is still there. There is a history of that, which I'm not going to go into. But, yeah. But it's on the drive. It's safe. It's just waiting for some funds to free up.
Yeah.
Then we can get back to sorting
some
that out.
Spare time from us.
Yeah, life's been a bit weird. Obviously, we had this big worldwide coughing fit going around. That put a stop to a lot of our plans.
Yeah. Well, then I had two kids. So.
Yeah. That also put a stop to some plans. Yeah, life just sometimes gets in the way, but... Yeah, we've still got the cars.
Yeah, still got the cars. You've got like a choice of engines now. You've got
I have the front of the house, I've got the complete cars. And at the back of the house, I've got a selection of three engines. We've got the
K24.
We've got the K24 at the Type S. The, oh my god, what else have we got out there?
H22.
There's two H22s out there.
Yeah.
Two H22s. One's a 5-something, and one's a 1.
Oh, I thought I was going to say 2 and a 3.
I don't know. I think the recent one we picked up is a 5-something.
This was only last week, wasn't it?
No. 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Is it?
But, selection of engines.
Yeah.
But I don't think I'll ever change the engine in the EK.
Nah, B series.
It's the closest to a road going go kart I think you can get.
Yeah.
That car is so much fun in its current spec.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've actually got the option of going H or K now in the UG.
Yeah.
And a little D series in it at the moment, which still runs absolutely fine.
Yeah.
I literally chuck a battery on that thing, it'll start, I guarantee.
It's not even a turt, is it? It's a turt.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, that's sprightly. It wants to live, which is unfortunate. it's the one reliable car that I'm probably going to ruin.
You could power your toaster with it or something.
But, yeah.
Might need it to power your server.
She does all right.
Hard drives in it.
She does all right. I've got more coming. But, yeah. Yeah, and at some point you picked up a Celica.
Yeah. Wasn't it that old Mercedes, didn't I?
Oh, Klaus.
Yeah, Klaus the Mercedes. I had to call it Klaus. That was one of the conditions of picking up the car. Yeah, I got this old Mercedes 280 TE. I think it was a 1983. It had been in the garage for 12 years. So I kind of got it out. I changed a few bits in a water pump and bits like that. Got it running. Got it MOT'd. And then, I drove that around. I don't know how long I had that for. I don't think it was a year or nothing. Probably like 6 months or something.
Don't know. I remember we went up to Southampton to pick up that massive PA system.
Oh, yeah. Huge speakers.
And it was the perfect car for that.
Yeah, you put the back seats down, it was massive.
Yeah.
But yeah, that kind of gave me a taste for like older stuff.
Because
I really enjoyed that. And after that, well, I bought the Prelude, didn't I?
Oh, yeah.
So we went up to...
Third gen, wasn't it?
Second, sorry. Yeah, so we went up to... It was from Birmingham. There's loads of old Hondas in Birmingham.
I remember driving you up for that. We drove up in the EK.
Yeah.
It was you, me, and our mechanic friend.
Yeah, Woody.
And we...
Why was he driving?
No, I was driving.
You were driving. Oh, was he pushing you on then? Because you did slightly over the speed limit.
Yeah, I may have exceeded it by 1 or 2 miles an hour.
You were like up pinned until Fruxton, for like five minutes.
We needed a run up. It was a 1.6 and it was three up.
So, yeah. Oh, I thought he was driving it for some reason.
No, he was in the back seat.
He was just
going, come on, faster.
Come on, Dave.
But yeah, that Prelude.
Yeah, it was good fun. Until I got the rocker cover refurbished by a certain company that I had it hydro dipped, so it ended up having like a wood grain kind of effect on it. I don't know why, I just wanted to do something different and something a bit strange, but yeah, I got the rocker cover back and no one said anything about washing it out or anything, and what I didn't realise is they'd shop blasted it, and there's like a baffle plate in the top of the rocker cover that must have been hiding loads and loads of metal balls. So yeah, well, I drove it for a couple of days, and then maybe a day or two, and then we drove it to Castle Combe, and then about 2 or 3 laps of Castle Combe and the bottom end started knocking. But she was a bit of a champ, because I was like, what do? I get it recovered? But I just drove it home. And it got me literally, well, to Pounder.
Yeah, it got you literally like, yeah, within eyeshot of home sort
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah. It's like... yeah, from car seat. It was like an hour and a half of driving. I took it easy.
Yeah.
And I don't think it was getting a little bit hot. They tend to get hot, don't they, when they're knocking.
I don't know. I don't pay attention.
Yeah, the engines. Yeah. Fuel gauge.
If it stops, it stops.
Temperature gauge, what's that? So, yeah. Yeah, that thing died, and then I had the engine rebuilt by some guy called Richard, who was really into second gen Preludes, and yeah, he did some engine work on it and stuff, and redid the bottom end, I think it was a couple of grand or something I spent on getting the engine redone, which is loads, you know, back then. I was like, this is a big old outlay. But it was going to be worth it because the car was really cool. And then got it back. And something happened with the timing belt. I think either I drove it somewhere and a bit of the material...
We got stuck in Bournemouth, didn't we?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Outside Subway.
Yeah. Oh, no. I think I'd fitted the timing belt. I'd never fitted one before and I hadn't taken the slack up on the tensioner.
Right.
And I think the belt... And I tried doing a wheel spin, didn't I? On the roundabout in Bournemouth.
That's about right.
Trying making a bit of noise. And, I think it jumped a few teeth and it bent a load of valves. So that happened. And then I took the head off, took the bent valves out, put new valves in. There was only like a limited stock left. There was only a few valves. So I got the ones I needed. Lucky didn't bend all of them. And then I put it back on, put the timing belt back on. And then so it was all running good. And then we drove to Halfords and it started doing like a weird, like, wasn't running right. And it was out of timing and stuff. And what happened, a tiny bit of gasket, like rubber gasket from the rocker cover. I think where I'd cut the... Because it had some fancy timing gears on it that you could... adjustable.
Mm.
You could... I cut the rocker cover out, you know, two little half moons out of it. And a little bit of the gasket... I hadn't trimmed the gasket or something. I think some of the gasket had fallen down and gone down in the timing chain, down the timing belt in the pulley, and it jumped again.
Mm.
So after that, I did pull it off and I got the last valves in the country that were for my engine. I got it going again. But after that, it was just like, right, next project.
Yeah. So many cars we've had as well. It's like everything with a different story.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we only even sort of touched on, like, the Sunny.
Oh, yeah.
With the rust.
Sunny truck.
Literally.
Oh, no, the Bluebird, you mean.
Bluebird, sorry, the Blue Turd.
Yeah,
yeah.
The Blue Turd.
Yeah, that was a scary day. Like, literally driving off your driveway and the entire back of the car is just separating.
Yeah. Well, I was about to go travelling again, wasn't I?
Yeah, yeah, that was it. So you decided to tie you over.
I just wanted a car to bomb around in and someone to take to JAE.
Mm.
Which is a show that we used to go to and camp at, and that was always good fun.
Doesn't exist anymore.
No.
No, it's gone.
Sadly. But Yakushi's replaced it, isn't it?
Yeah. Yakushi.
The Noyage.
A few years' time, I think it'll caught up with JAE.
Yeah.
It's really picking up steam quickly.
That's good.
A lot of work gone into that.
So, yeah, we just, what do we do? Oh, cut the springs. It did have some coilovers in the front. Some chopped up. I think
wasn't it that one that the wheel fell off?
Yeah. Well, the front fell off. Yeah, the wheel fell off that. Because our friend Ashley, who we went to Japan with, he's our plumber mate. He's into cars as well, but yeah, unfortunately he's into Peugeots.
Mm.
His Peugeot's pretty cool. He's got a 306 GTI on like throttle bodies and that. It's good. But he came over and we were just looking to how to lower it. We took the rear wheel off. And the stub axle had like a tapered bearing in it, and we did this. He did the bearing up too tight, basically. Mm. So as soon as I was driving, it was like the wheel was obviously generating heat, squeezing the bearing. And I drove to Cadenham and back, and I got to Cadenham. That was fine. And driving back, it was it was about 20 minutes to get to Cadenham, and then driving back about halfway. Literally, the rear end felt a bit weird. It kind of wiggled a bit. I was like, ooh, this feels a bit strange. Like, maybe I better slow down and pull over. As I pulled over left, I was just going up this hill. Literally, pulled over left, and the back wheel wanted to carry straight on. And it went bang, and I felt the car like hit the ground, and the back, that rear driver's wheel. And then literally, I looked in the window and the wheel bounced past my window. It kept bouncing and it was just going up, went up the hill. And I'd pulled over at this point and I was just watching it go up into the distance. And it went off round a corner, like it went out of sight. So, I was like, and then I rang you actually.
Yeah, I was trying to think, was that the time that We didn't tow the car back, did
no,
we?
No, I got it recovered. I think I
had
AA or ROC.
We went and picked up the wheel.
Yeah, yeah. I think you recovered me because it was in a tricky spot.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to be stood there anywhere near it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, Dave picked me up, took me to the nearest petrol station, which was like, you know, just up from it.
Yeah.
And then I called the RAC guy and said, oh, I'm here. My car's there.
Yeah.
So he picked up the Bluebird, then picked up me,
yeah,
and then took it home. And then, yeah, you can see on the video, we've got one of our videos on the channel of what the car looked like after the wheeler came off on the driveway. So we're just laughing about it and stuff. But, yeah. But I found a stub axle and put it on, and away we go again.
Yeah. And it made it to JE.
Yeah, it did, yeah. And then literally off the JE, I drove it for another week or so, and then I hit a big bump in it because it was on cut springs that which were like they were cut too much, and it was pretty bouncy.
Mm.
It wasn't a very nice ride. When I first got that car, it drove so nice, completely bog standard Bluebird. I think is it U11? I think it is. It's that shape, but yeah, it drove really nice. But then the cut springs they were cut too much, and it bounced everywhere. And I was coming down a hill, and I know there's always a dip in this road, which is, if you're lowered, it's always a bit where you're probably going to hit the floor.
Mm.
And the Bluebird just bounced into it, and then immediately the head gasket went. It was just steam everywhere. I was like, what the hell's... I thought I'd, like, hit the bottom radiator hose off or something.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was revs related, so, you know, the more you rev, the more steam came out. It was bizarre, so I think I drove that home. It was just a bit steamy behind me. As long as it had water, it was all right.
Yeah,
but yeah, very strange. From hitting a bump, making the head gasket go.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just didn't like being abused, I think. But yeah, that was a good fun car. I think it got bang erased, actually. So
I probably wouldn't have lasted long with that.
No, oh yeah, because the rust in it.
Yeah, that was bad. It's the worst car I've seen.
Yeah, the whole strut tower was wobbling.
We got our friend to come over and weld it all back together, didn't we?
Yeah, like, Hubbard best Keno, he could. Yeah. Well, I just handed him some like bits of plate and
just
all
odd
sorts.
Bits of metal weld lying around.
So like, this is thicker than, you know, 1 mil. Chuck that on there. So he did a bit of a patchwork quilt, and it made it strong again. It wasn't wobbling. So yeah, we just put the interior back so you couldn't see it.
Yeah,
Karen cracked
it.
On.
It's all good.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that was right near the fuel where the fuel line is. We didn't realise that halfway through, like, welding, it's like, ah, mate, there is actually, like, a petrol tank right there.
It was beforehand when we had Ashley in the back, actually, didn't we?
Yeah.
Ashley was like, oh, I can smell fuel. I was like, what?
No one else could in the front. We're just like, oh, whatever.
He's like, it sounds a bit airy, like, yeah, and then we peeled back the interior, and oh, my God.
It just kept getting worse.
Yeah.
It was one of those random days that we had the cameras just filming. I mean, back then it was GoPros. And we just had them filming, and it sort of captured the entire story.
Yeah, it unfolded,
like,
didn't it?
It wasn't like, oh, we're going to do this today. It was like, oh, we'll just stick a camera on. Because it was the first time I had that head mount.
Oh, yeah.
And we were testing that out mostly, just to sort of see. And yeah, and as it turns out, it ends up being a massive project, like multiple weekends.
Yeah,
and
that's another video on the channel you can watch.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's our... You got still got the Celica.
Yeah.
I've still got the EG, the
2015, UK. I imported that. So I nearly had that ago. 10 years. Yeah, next year.
Get that birthday cake.
It does need a bit of a birthday. It's starting to show some age.
One of my Hondas can make the cake for you.
Yeah. Just fire up one of the engines in the garden.
Yeah, stick a battery on it. It's all good. Yeah, so I've still got the EG, the EK, and A Accord. So,
do you not know the code name for it, David?
The cord?
Yeah. What's the chassis name?
I don't.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry.
That's got to be the first, like, Honda you don't know the chassis code of.
It possibly is. But thankfully, I have a computer in front of me.
You're normally on that.
Accord, or is it a Gen 8?
Yeah.
I think.
Let's see what Google says.
Let's have a look.
No, it's
a Gen 7 then. That's far too new. There she is. Sorry, I appreciate for everyone listening to this podcast. This bit just got really boring. It's just me looking at Google now. It's a estate.
Is it in like an SE or something?
Was it chassis code?
Yeah.
There will be someone at home just like screaming at us like, "You're taking too long." Oh my god, a CL7. That's what.
That's Tom the Type had. S, isn't it?
I don't know.
CL7 is Type S.
Oh my golly, there's loads of them. It's a Gen 7.
Four-wheel drive.
Type S is.
Oh my god, they did a four-wheel drive version.
Saloon four-wheel drive. No way. So it's a CL. It's a CL7, I guess.
Really?
Oh, petrol tourer. No, CM1, and the other one was the CM2.
Hmm.
There you go.
CM.
I'm going to try and remember that. I probably won't. There'll be a test.
I didn't know they did a four-wheel drive version. This is not UK. That's obviously why. I didn't know about it.
One thing I would say about those Accords is they desperately needed to be rear-wheel drive. It just, yeah, woeful.
I think every Honda owner's dream is to have their Honda rear-wheel drive.
Yeah.
It literally is.
Baseball cap on sort of sideways. And,
yeah. If you could take your Honda Civic drifting, it'd be amazing. It'd
be snappy as hell, but it would be fun.
It's probably be loads more road traffic deaths.
It would be the UK's version of the Mustang. Saved
so many people. Yeah. Yeah, Civic sideways into
pedestrians. A crowd of
people.
Oh, we shouldn't joke.
Yeah.
So what shows are you doing this year?
Shows first. Oh, I'm actually going to go to Sunday Scramble at Bicester.
Oh, yeah.
That's quite cool. Bicester Heritage is quite a nice like area. It's all kind of old buildings and yeah, so you partner all around it.
Yeah,
it's cool. It's got a good selection of. It's just it's kind of like classic cars, interesting performance cars. Yeah, it's good.
Mm.
It's about 2 hours away. It's all up the A34, which is a bit of a shitty drive, but not too bad.
Mm.
And then Retro Rides weekend.
Down for that.
That's at Goodwood.
Yeah.
So that's only for about 50 minutes drive for us.
Yeah, it's quite
not too bad. Quite local. Yeah, especially with all we go camping, so we've got all the camping gear, and hopefully got the scoot in tow again.
Yeah, you got to sort out transport for that.
Mm.
But yeah, you're not doing Yakushi this year, are you?
No, not Yakushi this year.
Yakushi's so much fun.
Yeah, I need
so much fun. It is the way I explain it to non-car people is basically. Imagine going to a field with all your football friends, surrounded by like football players, and just campfire, beer, drink for 3 days. That's it.
Yeah.
Just mates, cars, alcohol.
Yeah, just car friends, so geeking much, out, so drinking, much. And
enjoying. So much fun. It's good. Highly recommend it.
Players Classic, probably go to.
Yeah, I haven't got that one down.
I've applied. Right. Most years normally get in, but I've not heard anything back this year.
Hmm.
Probably fed up of looking at it. Because literally, the only things that changes on it are like, you know, probably a headlight cover and some wheels. And it's just very small changes that I do to my car each year. Just because I'm playing the proper long game on it.
Yeah.
There's an end goal in sight, but I'm just doing bit by bit by bit.
Sure.
Because I've got lots of parts and I've got plenty of time. I'm going to keep it forever, so...
Yeah.
Might as well take me time with it.
That's the thing. The EK, I think, is my forever car.
Yeah.
It's not particularly special. I mean, it's getting more special. It's
getting had a lot rarer. Of memories in it.
It's
been good.
So brilliant. It's everything I've ever wanted from a car. It's small. It's happy. It's very go-lucky.
Makes good noises.
It's great noises.
And you can pedal it as well. With that track day, you're flying.
Difference tyres make. Like, I know you've been saying for years, get decent tyres.
Yes.
I did for that track day.
Semi-slicks, yeah.
And my God, it was night and day.
Yeah.
You know, Chris in his Evo wasn't such a distant dot in the...
I know, yeah.
Still a dot, don't get me wrong. Yeah. Like, that thing flew. Yeah. But,
on the straights.
Yeah, I wasn't the pace guy. You can
hang with
anymore.
Them easy on the corners.
Yeah. Oh, so good. So good. Need to do more track days.
I know, I miss track days. I miss Hondas, man.
Yeah,
dying to get another Honda.
Get yourself a place of a garage, mate, and we'll get some Hondas.
Yeah,
more. Find some more off the back of a lorry or something.
Yeah. Oh no, the Honda. I want another Mini.
I'd die for a Mini. I've never owned one. I think because the sort of core group of friends, you've all had Minis, and I haven't.
Yeah, that's the point actually. Yeah, we're in the minis, and you're in your bright yellow Saxo with 65 green neons.
And I was the one holding everyone up. That's the ironic thing. All these ancient minis, they're little, not even 1 liter engines, and the Saxo was the slowest car.
998cc. Yeah. I mean, you're only just slower.
Yeah.
It's still got to be weight.
But what a memorable noise that rev limiter made.
Oh, God, yeah.
It didn't sound healthy, did it?
No. It's a real, like, it's horrid. Yeah. Horrid. The worst rev limiter you've ever heard.
That right there is a true Honda person statement.
Yeah.
That's the worst rev limiter I've ever heard. Most people haven't heard of rev limiter,
yeah,
Ben.
Most people don't want to take their car past the red line, but Honda owner, oh, yeah.
Yeah, with it.
We know, all know what our rev limiter sounds like.
Paid for the whole rev gauge, I'm going to use it.
Yeah.
Even the little red bit at the end.
Yeah, get it bouncing.
Yeah.
Da, 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 da.
So, yeah, that was a brief history and...
Yeah, just a bit of an intro into what's going on, what's been happening.
What we're doing.
Yeah.
We haven't given up on videos. Well, should I say, I haven't given up on videos. I think you've been posting.
Yeah, I've still been doing the wheel check thing.
Yeah.
With the Celica being 4x1 or 4.3 and the 1980s having so many cool wheels in Japan.
Mm.
That's my little niche, is 1970s, 1980s Japan. And yeah, wheels. Wheels have always been a massive thing for me. I've always, you know, every chassis I've had, I've always wanted the right wheel for it.
Yeah.
Well, apart from maybe... my Mini, I just painted the Mini lights gold. The Civic.
They were WAPs, weren't they?
They were what?
Wapanabi? No. I don't know. You're the wheel person.
The WATs. Watanabes. Yeah. Yeah, you were half in there.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking of that.
No, basically that's where Watanabe's come from, is Mini lights.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So you could put them down as being reps.
Dodgy territory.
But yeah, wheels. I love wheels.
Yeah.
Especially little three-piece ones.
It shows. Yeah. I mean, watch any wheel check video. I've thinned out
my collection, mate. It did go over 220 wheels. I'm down to like 160 now. So.
Do you know how many I've got? Not including the ones on the cars.
You've got a few pairs sets of wheels.
I've got the Enkis.
Then you've got loads of random OEM stuff.
Yeah, that's because a lot of the cars that I buy don't have spare wheels. So when a car dies, I make the wheels off it.
Carry on.
Yeah.
You've paid for the tyres.
Yeah, well, yeah. I'm going to use them until they're bald.
Oh, you've got those ultralights as well, haven't you?
The ultralights were for the track day. So I put the semi-slicks on the Enkis.
Yeah.
So, but I had to drive up on the ultralights.
Yeah. They're quite a cool design.
They are, other than they don't clear the front.
Yeah, the offsets. But
yeah, so I had to go up on some steelies on the front.
Oh, yeah.
And the ultralights on the back. But, I mean, they serve their purpose. They were reasonably cheap wheels.
Yeah. I think what we need is like an arch roll, possibly. And stuff.
Yeah, it's one thing we've never done to that car.
Yeah, depends if you want to get all stancy. Because that EK tucked those, what were they, Enki? Oh, what are they called?
What, my wheels?
Yeah.
J-Speeds.
J-Speeds, that's it. Yeah. J-Speed 3, they are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
it sits nicely where it is, but the front definitely needs, I think, sort of the arches being done.
Yeah.
I think it sits how I want it to sit. It's not too low. It's not the lowest Civic in the UK, but...
But when you stand back from it, you're like, shit, then that's good.
Yeah, it just looks so much planted. I parked it next to an EK... I was going to say quite recently, but it's not been on the road recently. But quite recently, whilst it was on the road.
What, a standard one?
Standard one.
Yeah.
And they look like different cars. Yeah. Just lowering it makes it look so much different.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And the lip kit helps as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, that's true. Even if I have burnt through most of it with the exhaust.
Because it's a VTI, isn't it? VTI. It's not VTIS.
No, it's a VTI.
Just VTI.
Yeah. But, nah. She puts a smile on my face. That's the main thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. I think we'll call that. People are probably bored.
Hopefully not. Hopefully you want to come back and listen a bit more. But we'll leave it there.
We'll see how it does. Whether you like it or not, we'll probably still do another one. We might not. It's up to us. It's not up to you. Sorry.
Yeah.
And
we've got. Oh well, I don't think we really use our Instagram page for the shooter ballers anymore. Really.
I Gotta be honest, it's on my phone. I can't remember the last time I was into
no,
it.
So you can either I'm at shoot all, and Dave's is at little Dave 69.
Little Dave, is it 69 still?
I think so.
Yeah. Oh, that's such a 2000s thing. It's so cringe.
Nice.
But yeah, that's my Instagram.
Little Dave 69.
You're a lot more popular. You are more popular, but you're a lot more active. Sorry, on Instagram.
Yeah, I've posted a few things. People seem to like Wheels as well, so that's always cool.
I always have sort of the realization on mine that as soon as I upload a story, Instagram sends that notification like, "Little Dave hasn't posted in a little while." That's how I get the attention. Just go quiet for like 6 months.
Yeah,
it's normally something random I'm doing.
You poking the algorithm.
It's steady. It's a very weird image I've got in my head.
Right, take care, guys. Thanks for listening.
See you later.
Bye.